Hi, this is Zoe Durand, and I'm a family lawyer and mediator, and you're listening to the Inside Family Law podcast. This podcast is presented by Mediation Answers in partnership with Artwork and Lawyer Magic. Over the course of these episodes, I will take you on a 360-degree deep dive into all aspects of the family law process by talking with some of the greatest minds in family. I'm hoping that through this podcast, we can really encourage interdisciplinary conversations and perspectives that allow us to go deeper into what is really going on in the family law process, and that also make us more curious in our approaches to family law and how we do what we do every day. Hi, I'm Zoe Durand, your interviewer, and I'm here at the Pacifica Congress Conference in Hobart. We're here live. I'm here with a colleague who I used to work with, Fiona Kirkman, a lifetime ago. Fiona, can you just introduce who you are and what you do and your role here at the Pacifica Congress Conference?
Thanks, Zoe, and lovely to be interviewed with you after all those years ago working together. So I'm somebody that wears a number of hats. Mm-hmm. I'm an accredited specialist in family law mediator who's just come up to 20 years this week in the legal profession. And I'm also global family law evangelist at Smokeball and co-founder of Family Property. So I'm somebody who wears a few different hats, but what I'm passionate about is family dispute resolution, technology and education of the next generation of lawyers and mediators.
So if you can just give me a little flavour, obviously we're not going to give away the whole talk because hopefully you'll be presenting next year, people can hear everything from you next year, but what's a little, I guess, the main takeaway or a bit of a summary of what you're presenting on here?
So my topic's on emerging technologies in family law, and what I want to really discuss is how technology can empower family law professionals to do things more efficiently so that they can automate the admin associated with family law matters and then free them up to hopefully do the work that they like or love to do in the family law mediation, legal advice, strategy, etc. So I'm going to be looking at a range of technologies, including artificial intelligence. I've actually asked ChatGPT on the benefits of using AI in the family law sphere and the challenges and benefits of that. So that'll be an interesting discussion as part of it. But I'm also going to share my journey as to why I created with my techie husband, Tim, Family Property, an expert system in family law, what I saw the pain points of and why and how we developed it, and then share a bit about the ups and downs of my journey in family property to the point where we're at now with recent sale to Smokeball, which is a global practice management system, and an expansion into the US at the end of the year with the product. So, yeah, it's exciting times, but there's been ups and downs. And what I really want to show family law professionals is that where there's a lot of pain points in the family law journey for them as professionals and for their clients, we should really start looking at what are those pain points and how can technology help with automating some of the repetitious, boring, manual work to make things more efficient.
So give me an example of one that might relate to something that that you do in your work, like, for example, that a pain point that you've identified and then you and Tim have created something to smooth through that.
So there's a few things. Intake. So I remember my days as a lawyer that client would come in, all I'd have is their name and the name of the other side, and I'd probably spend half an hour to an hour and a half gathering basic details from the client, pen and paper, before I could then even discuss the family law process and start providing advice. So what an online intake can do is it can gather the basic information correctly, and then it auto-populates balance sheets, correspondence, court documents, etc. Whereas I know when I was practicing and doing everything manual, it was pen and paper, and then, oh, can I ask you to spell your name again? Or is this the date of the birth? And how do we pronounce this? And etc. So really frees us up to be able to then go into that meeting with the client or the mediation and have the right information, and then we can work more on conflict coaching and strategy and option generation and things like that. So that was one big pain point, intake. The second one, as a mediator, I continually get frustrated with balance sheets that come to me and they've manually added up the figures and they're incorrect. And I have to go through them and check, and I point out this is the you haven't included this asset value correctly on this side of the balance sheet. And also when we come to a mediation, particularly if there's two sets of figures and then there's multiple offers of, okay, I want 50-50 on these sets of figures, I want 60-40, it can be quite cumbersome and time-consuming to be able to model out manually all of those financial proposals. So using technology can really help automate all the calculations and do it correctly without you having to get out the calculator and do all the maths yourselves, because a lot of us family law professionals are not mathematicians.
No,
we hate the maths.
And look, this is generalising, but sometimes people that go into law, it's more like they're into English and history, humanities.
Yes.
Maths is not, this is really general. There are some great mathematicians in family law, but mathematics may not always be the thing they love, and then there's quite a bit of mathematics involved. And so if you've created a technology which kind of smooths through, as you said, those pain points, which I think is a good phrase.
And now, just a couple of words about Lawyer Magic, a one-day course on the secret sauce to law practice scale-up. We demystify all the parts around being a lawyer that you actually need to know to thrive in law, but usually no one teaches you. The three pillars to Lawyer Magic are the law of attraction, being magnetic, branding, marketing, and positioning yourself as an expert, the honeymoon phase, drawing clients to you, networking, building referral chains, keeping the spark alive, keeping clients happy along the whole journey and getting paid seamlessly, but in a way that clients understand the value of your work. Nicole Evans said, Zoe and Roey were fantastic. They tailored this course around our firm and our needs. We all took away a lot of practical tips and new ideas to implement on a day-to-day basis. We believe the real magic happens by identifying what is naturally unique about you, including your special passions, and showing how to amplify and communicate this. Exhibit A, hopefully like I'm doing in this podcast.
Yes, and it's sort of like an Excel spreadsheet on steroids, in that it has the ability to, you know, go green where it's in agreement or red where there's a dispute, and it has the ability to have sub-balance sheets. So if there's a business or a self-managed super fund, you can have all of the assets and liabilities and have them in the balance sheet or take them out if it's being transferred to one of the parties.
And try different options.
So model the different options, save it, send it to the client, automate a proposal. So I'm finding in my mediations, instead of a day long, which is my typically legally assisted mediations, I'm cutting down the time to about a half day mediation. The last few, they've wanted a day, and I've said, I think we can do it in a half day, and we've been able to resolve it in a half day. So I think there's, they're two examples, like the balance sheet and the intake, but there's a lot more pain points, like disclosure of documents. Yeah. I still get, like, sometimes I used to get documents in a washing basket, and it would be like, oh, putting them all in index files. And, you know, there's a lot we can do from a technology perspective now, and thankfully COVID has really fast-tracked the adoption of technology, so that we're not doing everything paper and pen anymore.
Like in the caveman.
So I've been looking at that, and then looking at some of the problems of implementing technology and how to overcome those problems. So One thing's change management. Lawyers don't like change. We don't like change at all. We like to be good at whatever we do. And sometimes we just need to get into the sandbox and really test and measure how things are going and give it a go. And I encourage people, and I know myself, I love trying new things. But technology's a bit like that. You do need to sometimes get out of your comfort zone, get out of what you're, quote, used to doing for the last 5, 10, 20 years, and try it. Because I've found with, say, family property clients, once they get used to it, they're like, oh, I'll never go back to paper and pen again. Yeah. So, but how do we manage that change? So I'll be using a few interesting examples of lawyers who struggle with change, like struggle with the cat lawyer, for example, and struggling to use online video conferencing, and what we should do to help with that change in a law firm. So how we can, you know, there's, if we have the tech-savvy lawyers, the younger lawyers potentially, how we can have them as champions
to teach
the others and have that group of people that can help others and mentor them, as well as external like tech providers providing training. Who can we have within the firm that can help drive innovation and change?
I mean, I think there's two things that are really interesting. One is that, and it's true what you said about sort of COVID did sort of escalate the need to use technology because we were kind of not able to physically be as present with each other. So that sort of saw a huge uptake of, you know, Microsoft Teams, Zoom, other technologies. And I think it's interesting as well what you said, and it's actually very true in terms of there is something that permeates all through law about a kind of, I guess, resistance to change or wanting to. If you actually look at it, we're one of the few professions, this is a bit on the side, that still have like professional suit in corporate wear. Not that I'm against that, I'm just observing it. And, you know, in the courts, you're looking at sort of the wigs and that. It's kind of one of the few professions that really still takes on
the things
from the past and has a deep sense of the past, which is nothing wrong with that, but then it's sort of like, can we kind of keep that if we want to keep that and also, you know, adopt some of these technologies that will make our life a lot easier, you know?
Yes, and I think, thank goodness for COVID in some respects, from a technology provider, it was very good for us, of course, but I think it propelled the change probably that would have taken another decade or 2 decades, because suddenly we had to do online conferencing. We were forced into it. We had to do online disclosure. And I think the court, the Federal Circuit and Family Court of Australia, has been great in leading the change as well. And I think that top-down approach, encouraging the profession to get on board with Microsoft Teams, but not only that, but other technologies, I think is really important. But we also need to as family law professionals, be willing to change, because that's the next generation, or even our generation and the generations to come, of lawyers and mediators. They don't just need that IQ skills anymore. We need, what I say, the IQ plus the EQ, or the emotional intelligence, which I'm sure you're aware of in the family law sphere, but also the AI or the technology skills. The next generation of lawyers are so tech savvy, they would prefer to talk on the text or on the chatbot, etc., than in person. And if they go to a firm or a mediation practice that doesn't use any technology and they're having to do everything by paper and pen, I think they will get frustrated with that. And so to retain good talent, I think it's quite essential to be adopting the latest technology.
And now a few words about artwork, where we bring art to your place of work. As some of you might know, away from the law, I have pursued a passion for art, exhibiting in London, Sydney, Melbourne, throughout China, and at a contemporary show in the Louvre in Paris. I'm now sharing my love of art and creativity with workplaces. I'd love to hear from you if you would be interested in team bonding art lessons, curated pieces for your office, or making your next corporate event a showstopper with a piece of art created live for your guests. I'm also interested in any of the other ideas you might have about how to inject creativity into your place of work and shake things up, hopefully in a good way. benefit of working with me is that uniquely I am both an artist and a lawyer, so I have an understanding of the law firm corporate events context and can chew the fat with your guests about law, life, art, and my creative process whilst I create your special piece for your firm. Bronwyn O'Lone said, "This was truly an amazing experience. We keep getting comments from those that joined us on our special evening about how inspiring it was to watch you create such beautiful art. The memories will live on in the artwork, which will be hung proudly in our meeting space."
And tell me about, you mentioned AI. It needs to be part of your talk. Is there any like key takeaways about AI that you're going to talk on?
So I'm going to be talking about artificial intelligence in family law. Actually, recently did an article for the College of Law looking at how I use artificial intelligence. And it was interesting, one of the key use cases for the AI was case law research and getting good summaries of cases, etc. But it was interesting when, in preparation for a talk on the FCFCOA forms, I went in there and what's some good cases that I could talk about, and came up with these three brilliant cases, case citations, summaries of the cases, and I was like, yes, this is going to be a great presentation. I thought, I better just get my paralegals to check these cases. And we checked them, and the AI had actually hallucinated and made up these cases.
Oh my goodness, we've got hallucinating AI.
Hallucinating AI. So it was a warning to me, and now I've shared it more broadly through the College of Law article about the risks of using AI and how we need to be really careful. And there's been some cases, as you've heard in the media, of people relying on the AI and it not actually being accurate and true. And that's because the AI searches the internet, Google, what can I find? And if it can't find the answer, it will actually make up that answer. So we really have to be careful on using it. But having said that, I use it all the time from a marketing perspective. I'm doing a lot in the education space and on LinkedIn and a family law lounge that I've created. And it really helps to summarise what are the key. Here's the content, page long, summarise it into five key takeaways, or make this into a LinkedIn post that's interesting for a wide audience. So I think there's a lot of good benefits from an AI and technology perspective, but there's some key warnings there as well, not to be over-reliant on it.
Like everyone's now into the ChatGPT, you know what I mean? Like it's just such a thing. It comes up, I mean, this is sideways to what you do, but I had a mediation where it was raised and one of the parents was saying, the other parents aren't in tune. We did a search and it said that 99% this response, which the dad had given the child, just came from ChatGPT, talking about them being bullied at school. And they're like, this just shows that the parent just, it's funny, so it comes up all the time now.
And I think if we turn off and say, no, I'm not interested, I don't want to know about technology, the reality is it's here. We do need to engage with it and understand it and understand the pitfalls and the benefits for ourselves, our staff and our clients, because they're using it as well. Oh, and yeah. They're perhaps going on there and checking your letter of advice and making sure it's accurate and asking ChatGPT for what they should do in their family law case. And so they'll be comparing the AI advice to your advice.
Who wins?
Yes, well, it's an interesting, I've got a bit of a debate there sometimes. So don't think it's going to necessarily replace the lawyer or the mediator, particularly in the sphere of family law, anytime soon. But it might replace if you've got
admin. Could be iRobot in the future.
Yeah.
50 years from now, iRobot.
iRobot, there we go. So, well, family law, I think you need that emotional intelligence. But there's aspects of our job, like all the calculations, gathering documents, gathering information, research, reviewing documents, all of the admin, the research. I think over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see technology really automating a lot of that. And what my techie husband says, where there's a lot of repetition in the work we do and a lot of pain points, that's where we should start. Where there's a lot of repetition, there's a lot of opportunity for automation. And that's where tech can automate that. But that's, I think, a good thing. We shouldn't be scared of it. So and we can go, okay, we can get the tech to do that side.
Saves time.
And then we can learn to, like for me, family violence is really important, mental health training, and the emotional grief process of separation. And we can spend more time on that and less time on the admin. Yeah. And I think it will make us better family law professionals overall.
Well, look, thank you very much. That's been a really interesting chat, Fiona.
That's all right. I'm looking forward to presenting tomorrow. So.
Yeah. If people want to get in touch with you, where should they reach you? I'll put a link as well below the, this podcast interview, but where do they reach you? Is it?
So Smokeball or Family Property or Kirkman Family Law are my three hats. But on LinkedIn, please follow me or connect with me on LinkedIn. And, yeah, I'm more than happy to chat with you. I'm really passionate about education of that next generation of lawyers and mediators as well. So I'm doing a bit of consultancy work and have a number of mediation and law students work for me in their placements. So, yeah, keen to connect with anyone and help inspire them to utilise technology and dispute resolution as well.
All right. Well, look, thank you, Fiona, our technology queen. and if you want to find out more about the Pacifica Congress Conference and how to join, I'll put a link below this interview as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Inside Family Law. I hope you got a lot out of it and that it has sparked a lot of questions and conversations that you'll keep having with your colleagues in the area. If you do want to stay connected with me, then please reach out on LinkedIn. You can find me, I'm Zoe Duran, or you can reach me on Instagram at Mediation Answers. My website is www.mediationanswers.com.au. If you have any fabulous ideas for a podcast interview, then please be in touch with me. Also, if you would like me to cover your family law conference, for example, or any other conference or event, I'm more than happy to discuss if this would work. So please also do reach out. Thanks very much, and I hope you listen in next time.